Chapter 3. Time and Iron. 999.M30. Guggen. Sactrada Deeps. For Tridon felt the Harrud before he saw them. Their influence plucked at the fabric of space-time itself. The strange quickening that surrounded them altered the composition of the atmosphere, thickening it with accelerated particular motion. Light shifted its hue subtly towards the blue end of the spectrum as it was sped on past its natural limit. But the worst and most telling indication of their presence was the heat. The tunnel became suddenly stifling. That was the sign that there were Harrud nearby, always. Andos Phan, scouting 30 metres ahead of the main body of the 165th Company, 16th Grand Battalion, stopped at a branching in the tunnel and held up his hand, signalling a halt. Vox clicks and battle sign passed down the line, halting the warriors. They waited tensely in the dark in two lines either side of the tunnel, the light reflecting feebly from the edges of their dull steel armour. It was not in the nature of the Iron Warriors to be cautious in battle, but fighting the Harrud had taught them many hard lessons, one being the use of point men like Phan. Better one of them age rapidly to dust in the temporal vortex of a time mine than all of them.
"Got a temperature spike," boxed Phan. "A big one." "Lend me your eyes, brother," replied Captain Anabaxis, his voice carrying to the whole company.
Phan steeled himself before he obliged, leaning back against the wall with his bolter ready before ducking round the smooth corner and peering about, Anabaxis sharing the view through his auto-senses. Phan leaned back. The captain's vox clicked in the ears of his men as he switched to a private channel, leaving his company to wait upon his orders. For Tridon battled to master himself. He doubted the others in the 7th Tactical Squad felt the same trepidation he did. He wouldn't call it fear exactly, but the Harrud were unnerving creatures to fight. This was his first campaign, and only his third battle. The deep scars, where the apothecaries had cored his flesh to implant his neural plugs, still ached at night. His breath thundered in a helmet that still felt foreign to him. Runes and data screed that he had only just begun to master winked at him on his visor. His pulse was quick. 6 months of training and endless surgeries, now this. His head span at the rapid change in his circumstances, from a junior hoplin of Edifus to a legionary in 1 year. "Iron within, iron without," he thought. His brothers were tense. Though they remained outwardly fearless, this war was taking its toll on them. They were close-mouthed, many quick to anger. This was not how he had imagined being a member of the Legion to be.
"What's the hold-up?" said Erdemes. "Circumspection," said Genus Caliphon.
He shifted his flamer and fuel sloshed in its tank. For Tridon found the constant hiss of its pilot light calming. Caliphon was kinder than the others, and for Tridon was glad of his proximity.
"Damn circumspection! We should get in there and kill them all now,"
said Jaceron Zankata, whom they called Mauler, for reasons that were plainly evident to anyone who had fought alongside him in the line.
"Tepheus Cursus, I wager there's an archive there," muttered Harrakis.
"What's that mean?"
asked Fortridon cautiously. The others were irritated by his ignorance. He would not let that stop him asking questions. He would die if he did not learn.
"It means resistance, lad, that's what," said Bardan.
Though a Dua character, he was more understanding of Fortridon's position than most, though not so helpful as Caliphon.
"Better be ready for a hard fight. They'll die by the dozen to protect their precious books. This is going to cost us dearly."
Bardan's pessimism was unwarranted. The vox clicked again as Anabaxis re-engaged the company channel.
"I see at least three of them. We've taken them unawares. Squad 7, it's your turn to take the lead. Phan, you are relieved. Squads 6 and 12 stand ready to support 7. 3 and 4 to the rear guard. Sergeants, listen."
His company-wide broadcast ceased again. Anabaxis was an emotionless leader, fonder of squad numbers than the names his troops gave their units. Kelophon said he had changed, consciously modelling himself on the Primarch. Bardan said he'd always been that way.
"Remember, Fortridon,"
said Messon Dentrefor darkly, "the more of these Xenos scum we kill, the sooner we can be back to a proper war."
"Try not to die."
"Digging. Sieges. We all wish for variety, brothers,"
said Bardan, racking a bolt into the chamber of his weapon.
"Be wary of wishes."
"Silence,"
said Vodan Zalsk, the sergeant of Squad 7. He spoke distractedly, listening to his superior on a direct voxlink.
"Where they go now? Move out."
They advanced the 30 meters to the branching, silent but for the muffled thud of their boots and the whine of their armor systems. The Harad were insatiable diggers, tunneling hundreds of kilometers of tubular warrens through the rock of the planets they dominated. How they did it was open to conjecture. The Iron Warriors had found nothing that resembled digging machines. The walls were uneven but glassily surfaced, seemingly impervious to the constant tremors that beset Harad worlds. They rose and fell slightly, twisting about like the guts of an immense creature. As they approached the branching, a temperature indicator blinked on Fortridon's visor display. The coolant system of his backpack rumbled into higher gear. He felt dislocated. His comrades moved unnaturally quickly. Time was running ahead of itself. Zalsk directed his squad to flank the branching either side of the entrance. The Harad rarely used doors. Each chamber and tunnel of their warrens ran into the next. The way bulged into a large chamber filled with racks of hollow honeycomb shelving made from some kind of resin. Sheets of cured mycelium were stacked in roughly half of them. The rest were empty, their papers removed and stacked on the floor or in odd leaf-shaped things that had no understandable purpose. Fortridon was at the front. Zalsk was testing him, but it did not concern him unduly. He had to prove himself to his new comrades. The squad had been devastated, already under strength when the invasion of Gugan had commenced. Half the remainder had died in this one campaign. Although no stranger to high casualties, the strain was getting to the Iron Warriors. They resented Fortridon for being alive in the place of their deceased brothers. It was natural. He did not begrudge them. In any case, his continued existence might not be an issue for much longer. The archive was lit by non-directional light that came from nowhere, dim as the Harad liked it.
"Oh, this place is a mess," said Udamais. "Oh, they're clearing out," said Zalsk. "We've got them on the run." "And it will see them?"
asked Bardan. They all spoke quietly over Vox. If the Harad detected them, their service to the Emperor would end prematurely.
"There, at the back of the room,"
said Dentrefor. He dipped his bolter towards the far side of the archive, where another entrance, slightly offset from theirs, opened up. Fortridon squinted into the gloom. The Harad were almost impossible to spot behind the entropic fields generated by their bizarre biology. The break in time's flow acted like a lens, bending light around them. When they were stationary, they were virtually invisible. When they moved, they seemed to traverse space without crossing it, flickers of black at the heart of a column of shimmering air. Sight was rarely the most reliable way to detect them. Zalsk directed Fortridon's attention to a blur in the corner. A twisting ribbon of black danced behind it. Fortridon switched to thermal imaging, and the world bloomed with confusing false colours. The entropic effects of the Harad caused massive heat bleed from the environment. The creature swelled into a throbbing mass of hot yellows and reds. If he aimed for the middle, he should kill it. They sighted the other two. The 7th Tactical Squad selected their targets. Zalsk held up three fingers, then two, then one.
"Now,"
he voxed. They opened fire, for Tridon kept his aim on the centre of his target. He flicked back and forth between true vision and thermal. He couldn't be sure if he hit either way. In a normal view, the slash of shadow that was the Harad leaped about. In thermal vision, its position was obscured by the thermal bloom of overclocked atomic activity. But it was easier to keep track of where it was. Bolts streaked at the alien. Upon encountering the thing's time field, they sped on to unbelievable speeds, or they detonated prematurely as the explosive inside the munition decayed, or they came apart in rains of metal atoms. The effect of the Hrud on their surroundings was unpredictable. A space marine stood close by one might age 1,000 years in a minute, and yet his comrade be unaffected. The Hrud's own artifacts seemed immune. The creature fell, finally hit, and the whirling distortion around it blinked out. For Tridon let out a shout of exhilaration. Mankind would rule the stars, and he would play his part in ensuring it was so. Other Hrud fell. Their bodies were already in the process of disintegration as they hit the ground. Thick vapors poured from them, acidic and stinking. For Tridon's breathing grills slid shut.
"Advance!" roared Zalsk.
Over the company vox, Anabaxis ordered 6 and 12 to follow and cover. For Tridon was barely aware of his brothers. He ran forwards with Harakis, the two of them working together to cover the aisles between the strange shelves, one after the other. Caliphon trailed him. Zalsk ordered them to halt.
"Are they all dead?" said Udamais. "Seems too easy." "Something's wrong," said Harakis.
He peered around the edge of the archive stack and snatched himself back, choking. His bolter fell to the ground in pieces, and he held up his hands, staring at them, not believing what was happening to him.
"Oh, more of them!"
he gasped. The bare ceramite of his gauntlets was pitting, as if left out in the elements for 5,000 years. They crumbled around his hands, exposing the flesh within. It wrinkled and sagged. Muscles melted away. Fingers became knotted with degenerative disease. His skin thinned and became liver-spotted, and his veins stood out blue, the pulse in them weakening by the moment. Harakis's screams became hideous gurgles. He fell down, dust pouring from the rents opening up in his armour. Harakis's death took place in less than a second. For Tridon backed away, bolter raised. His armour clanged out warnings as the temperature rose around him. The paint on his pauldrons blistered and began to flake. The flawless iron colour of the unpainted ceramite dulled as oxidisation pox appeared on it. Systems juddered as they underwent a century of decay. His heart's pounded. Death approached. As he retreated, he looked down the aisle. Three Hrud approached, tendrils of wavering air reaching out towards him.
"Get down!"
yelled Caliphon. For Tridon dived to the side as a swelling cloud of fire roared up the aisle. Fighting the weight and awkwardness of his battleplate, he rolled onto his side in time to see the Xenos die. Flames flickered into an insane jerking dance around the creatures. The consumption of oxygen was radically accelerated by the Hrud's entropic fields, and the fires burned themselves out quickly. It was not enough to save the Xenos. Genis Caliphon squeezed his trigger again, sending another blast of flame over the aliens. Their stinking layered robes steamed under the assault of burning promethium, igniting suddenly as their moisture boiled off and they reached combustion temperature. A dying Hrud screamed like nothing should. The sound of it brought to mind the last ticking seconds of a world's life, or the ultimate exhaustion of the final star. It was the death scream of time itself. Their long, flexible limbs flailed, sending spattering arcs of promethium up the walls of their burrow. These landed on layered sheets of mycelium paper burning into them. The archive began to smoulder. The rest of the seventh gathered at the end of the aisle, taking up firing positions.
"Fire!"
bellowed Zalsk. The Iron Warriors sent a storm of bolts into the Hrud. They detonated violently, their flexible limbs coming apart and scattering vertebrae like bones across the floor. The last of the time fields went out. The Hrud curled on the floor, sinews tightening. The inferno burned so fast that they blurred into a standing wall of light. In seconds, the fires rendered the bodies into ash, and the flame walls dropped. The Harad's time-warping powers failed. The dread touch of entropy slipped from Fortridon's being as the Xenos collapsed into nothing. The passage of time crashed nauseatingly back to its proper speed. Jaceron Zancator towed a skull that had escaped the worst of the fire. Ash sifted from its large eye sockets. A mandible fell loose from the mouth and clicked on the floor.
Ugly, spat Zancator.
He stamped the skull to powder, checked his weapon and slammed in a fresh magazine. Zalsk and Udamaius swept their auspexes around. The others spread out into a covering pattern as the following squads advanced, warriors splitting into pairs to check each aisle.
Clear!
Bellowed Zalsk. The remainder of the Iron Warriors clattered into the archive. Messon helped Fortridon to his feet.
Are you hale?
He asked. Fortridon felt shaky, but signed that he was well. He felt no different, but he would have aged. He had seen men withered into helpless living cadavers. The Harud's powers gave the lie to the supposed immortality of space marines. Fire was already taking root in the library. Captain Anabaxis stalked down the central way, grabbed Kellaphon by the pauldron and yanked on it hard. Murder simmered in his voice.
Wait until the tarantulas are set up, then burn it. Burn every last scrap of it. Bring them running. Oh, that's not the plan, Brother Captain, said Sergeant Zalsk. The Primarch ordered us to advance and engage from the south. The plan's changed, said Anabaxis. We'll draw them off our Lord's position. If we kill them here or there, he will not care, so long as they are dead. This is my judgment and you will obey. Any more dissent from you, Zalsk, and I'll have you back in the line.
He turned away from the 7th Squad.
Hurry! Get the sentry guns in place. They'll be coming here in force to save their stinking archives.
Anabaxis surveyed the hall, crammed from floor to ceiling with groaning shelves.
Scavengers, he said hatefully.
He went to the library burrow entrance, where 3 space marines worked swiftly to deploy a pair of twin las tarantulas. They were not working fast enough for Anabaxis's liking.
Now, Demios, now! Unless you want me to send you on point to bear the brunt of the temporal storm in place of these machines, get them lined up on the far tunnel. We shall gun them down as they enter.
Whooping calls echoed from the far entrance. Udamaeus turned to shout back up the aisle.
Hurry! They're coming!
Anabaxis cursed.
Defensive positions! Kellaphon, burn it now!
Prometheon washed out from the flamer, turning the small fires burning in the archive into a roaring blaze. Fortridon took shelter between the stacks. Fire raged around him, heating his armour. Into the inferno the Harud came, shrieking woe, agitated by the loss of their books. They moved quickly, propelling themselves on one long arm and their 2 legs, deadly plasma fusils held in their free hands. There were at least a dozen of them, their entropic fields overlaying one another, buckling the air in front of them so that they appeared as if viewed from behind a fall of water. Fortridon caught tiny, clear sights of them, but only ever parts, never the whole. Their long arms whipped about in a way no human limb could. Ghastly faces glared at him with unbounded hatred. Stinking robes covered their bodies. Fleeting sights. The Harud were deceptive shadows behind the glassy air for the most part. Even now he had little idea of what they actually looked like. All he had was a patchwork of glimpses. The tarantula's machine spirits registered the Harud's presence and opened fire. The laser shots hit the entropic fields of the enemy. Sped up past all physical constraints, the light exploded, tearing 2 of the creatures apart. The guns fired again. Another Harud went down less dramatically. 4 neat holes burned through its concealing layers. The Iron Warriors added their fire to that of the sentry guns, filling the archive with a wall of flaring mass-reactive rounds. To a warrior not experienced in combat against the Harud, such an expenditure of ammunition would have seemed overkill, but it was necessary. The room throbbed to the sound of bolts exploding prematurely. Propellant burned instantly. Bolts veered off course and impacted in the walls. The Harud neutralized or evaded so many of them. Arrogantly, the Xenos slowed, lowered their weapons, and returned fire. A green bolt of phasmic plasma wickered through the air, its track uncertain as it blinked in and out of existence. It materialized inside a warrior of Squad 9, punching out through his backplate and pack in a spray of blood and steam. He exploded as his suit reactor failed, shrapnel from his demise cutting down one of his fellows. A furious exchange erupted. Iron warriors fell all around for Tridon. Shouts for aid struggled against the storm of bolter fire, though nobody cried out in pain. That was not the iron warrior's way. Bolts whooshed through thickening air. Smoke billowed up off the burning Harud books, washing over the ceiling. Liquid thick, it cascaded down to the floor when it encountered the walls of the room. Soon, for Tridon's fellows was swallowed up in a black murk. Whether from Harud effect or the fire, the temperature rose intolerably high, triggering his suit alarms and driving for Tridon from the meagre cover of the library stacks. He moved cautiously, relying on his helm overlay to see him through the smoke. Without his battleplate's auto-senses, he would have been blind. His armour kept the smoke outside, filling his lungs with pure air. Green blasts punched through the smoke one way, las cannon beams and bolt shots the other. Torbolons twisted around the paths of each. His armour beeped a warning as a stray bolt round spanked off one of his greaves. For Tridon slowed, scanning the smoke apprehensively. A green flash, and something slammed into the side of his helm, showering his face with molten metal. His suit systems wailed, his vox fizzed and died. Smoke poured through the rent in his faceplate, and he gasped from the pain of his cooking flesh, unwittingly drawing a great lungful of poisoned air into his chest. It burned his lungs, and he choked. His multi-lung went into action, cramping his birth lungs as it unfolded, driving out the poisonous air. When he breathed again, it was with this blessed gift. He was no longer suffocating, though the air singed his throat still. Someone grabbed his elbow and yanked him forwards. They passed under a ventilation shaft, funneling the smoke up out of the archive. The air on the far side was clearer, for Tridon blinked. The mushy remains of dead Harud stained the floor. He threw himself down amidst them, panting hard.
"Rest," said Messon Dentrefort. "Get your breath. Your vox link is malfunctioning."
For Tridon nodded dumbly.
"Let us get your helmet off."
Dentrefort locked his bolter to his thigh and pulled out a hex key from his belt. Deftly, he undid the bolts holding the remains of Fortridon's neck seals to his battle plate.
Mark II armor, he said disdainfully.
He examined the wrecked helm, judged it unsalvageable, and tossed it aside.
We're overdue a supply of the newer marks.
He reached out and hauled Fortridon to his feet.
Iron within,
he said.
Iron without,
responded Fortridon. His throat felt full of razors. The fire was burning out in the archive. Iron warriors stamped out of the thinning smoke victoriously, but a dozen at least lay dead. Apothecaries moved in from the rear, reductor blades spraying blood as they bit into flesh. Tech marines were already packing up the tarantulas at the rear. For Tridon coughed ropey phlegm, streaked black. Blood, Physoline, fire, smoke, and the spoilt stink of disintegrating Harud made the air barely breathable.
"Move out!"
Captain Anabaxis's voice boomed from his voximeter. His helm crest was singed, and his armour smeared in soot and blood.
"There are many more Xenos to kill, and the Primarch is waiting for his victory!"